Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. On this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show. It ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Bourne. I'm joined by two very special guests from Always Hold On Arrow, Mr. Lance Laster.
What up?
And from Always Hold On to Wonder Woman on our Patreon, Miss Lauren Wynn.
Hi there.
So you guys both are really excited about this episode, as I understand it. I mean, they're definite pros and cons to this episode, but I look forward to breaking all down with you. But, you know, just off the jump, is this like a miscongeniality episode? I would say no. So it's not a movie plot as an episode, because if it were Lois or Chloe or Lana having to get into a pageant to uncover a mystery, then I would count it as a miscongeniality ripoff. But since Kara's just kind of in it to fit in, which is the theme, then I don't count it as one. But what are your guys' thoughts on that?
I think there are elements of miscongeniality present, obviously, and then there are also elements of Mean Girls as well. Does it count as movie plot as an episode? No.
Okay.
I agree with Lance, and there, especially when he says about elements, there are some bits that like definitely just feel like, you know, like the manufactured teen girl movie.
But not a blatant copy and paste. So we
no.
If it's season three, for whatever reason, it was like just a string of episodes that were just clearly what are the youth into right now, and let's do a show like that. But this they've thrown in some creativity, fortunately, for this episode. So in Smallville, the official companion, season seven by Craig Byrne, available wherever books are sold. The writer of this episode, Holly Harold, had this to say about the concept of this episode. Quote, Kara wanted to fit in. She wanted to be a part of this new world, and what better way to seize it? Kara is different from Clark. She wouldn't be like Clark, hiding under a bushel of corn, so to speak, and there are lines in the episode suggesting Clark doesn't live the most scintillating life. She's a girl who puts herself out there in a way she's trying to capture that teenage wish fulfillment that has always been an embodiment of the ostracized teenager of Smallville. Bringing that out again with Kara was a perfect way to play on that. Fair.
It's so good to hear people say Kara. I know I said that the last episode, but it's so good to hear people say Kara. Someone does say Kara once in this episode, though, and I was pissed. Well, actually, no, they don't. They say it in a deleted scene, which I watched this week.
That's right. Lauren did her homework. She's got the DVDs out. And you know what? Let's just talk about the deleted scenes now before we really get into it, because I'm not sure exactly where they would have been. Like, sometimes you can obviously tell, oh, this would have been here or this would have been there. These are like, well, these could have been a couple of places. So when there are multiple ones and I'm not sure exactly where they are, you know, sometimes we talk about it before you jump into it. So let's do that. The first deleted scene I thought was adorable. It was Kara doing a talent show. I guess it was many phases to this.
Well, yeah, no, there's many different portions of a talent show of a pageant.
As we saw, Lauren, on Wonder Woman, the Linda Carter's Wonder Woman, very similar. This plot to that.
Exactly.
That's what they ripped off.
So this is the talent portion. And her talent was, I guess, a magic show.
A magic trick. And these are deleted scenes, right? So there's no special effects.
No.
So you don't hear obviously they would have inserted the super speed sound effect when she did her trick, but it's not there. So it's even more realistic to what it is. But what it is she's wearing, it's funny. And in the companion, by the way, the picture that goes along with this episode is Kara in the outfit she's wearing in the deleted scene.
Like the mashup.
The blue Zatanna.
Yeah, the mashup Supergirl Zatanna costume.
Exactly what it is. But what did you... So yeah, she pulls a magic trick where she disappears behind a sheet and Clark calls the contestant. I thought it was great. What did you think of it, Lauren?
You know, it's funny what you're talking about, like, where would this fit in deleted scenes wise? Because I think that there's even more deleted scenes that weren't included, because if you just stick this in front of whatever the talent show portion was, like, there's still stuff missing. You know, like, there's a time where they call them out and they sort of do their runway walk, but then there's this. So there's clearly like another part where someone's like, if you had one wish, what would you do to better the world? I don't know.
World peace.
Or something like that. Thoughts? Well, of course, like, blue like Zatanna outfit, the cape, that was interesting. Definitely as soon as I turned on the deleted scenes, I was like, oh my God, this was so worth it.
Yes.
Like, I'm so glad I watched these deleted scenes. And it's wild because, like, again, like, we know that we all have, like, that the show means a lot to us, but I'm actually literally watching some of these deleted scenes for the first time in my life. New Smallville stuff in 2021 for me. That's amazing.
What you said, Lauren, about this, seeing these for the first time is interesting because when I got the DVDs, I watched through them all and I watched the special features of the episodes, but so many of these I too have just forgotten about because I saw them once for, you know, a few minutes years ago. And then of course you don't rewatch them like you rewatch the episodes. So they're kind of lost to time. And so seeing these new moments is very fun. And this is just a really fun scene. Clark is like, doesn't like what she's doing, obviously. Mm-hmm. And she calls him to be the contestant and just very cute.
Right. And this episode specifically feels, it has like elements of like season one to me.
Yes.
Oh, very much so. Yeah. And then so that's the first deleted scene. The second deleted scene is interesting in that, hey, remember when Chloe died in a season finale and then she wasn't dead? And then there was a scene where Lana found out that she wasn't dead and they reunited and it was a moment and that got deleted. Well, they did the same thing again. Because Lana died in season six finale, and it turns out she wasn't dead. And there was a scene where Chloe found out she wasn't dead, and they reunited, and they deleted that. So there's just these are key character moments, and they're just deleting them. Like, I don't know. I guess this episode was just too packed. You know what I would have done? Is I deleted all the scenes with Special Agent Joaquin Phoenix, and then you would have had time.
Yeah.
For these scenes, because you don't need them. Like, the only reason that's in here is to have Lex protect Kara, and then at the end, for him to say, you know, I would have protected someone else if they would have been honest with me. But, you know, that answers the question, right?
Yeah.
That we always ask. Well, Lex would have protected him, but would he not turn evil? That's the bigger question. But anyway.
Well, I mean, he may say that he would have.
Yeah.
But his actions would probably speak otherwise.
But all that to say, a deleted scene, which is, I think, very important, where your two female leads have to find out one of them's not dead. So.
The disrespect.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not a huge Chloe or Lana fan, so.
Well, Lauren obviously edited this episode. No, that's not important. We don't care about them. Cut that out. Oh, you know what? Grant Gable's in that scene, too, isn't he?
That guy sucks.
You know, that's the reason to delete it right there. It's Grant Gabriel praises Chloe for her story about the meteor freaks in Smallville.
Closter.
I hear.
That guy.
That guy sucks.
But she comes out of his office, Chloe does, and then
he's like berating her. He's like, he's like, you're not going to be as good as your cousin if you don't get, you know, better stories.
Chloe's like, I'm not my cousin, and I don't want to be.
Yep.
It's like, again, this should have been in the show to kind of be like, listen, she's not going to be Lois Lane, guys. It continued to prove to me that Grant Gabriel was a terrible character. And he does make one scene in this episode, which again, he's doing the same berating thing.
Same thing.
But anyways, she comes out of his office, and where else would Lana find Chloe than outside of Grant Gabriel's office?
I guess so.
Planet, and that's where they have no other sets to do it at. Maybe the Talon, I guess, where they've all lived.
I don't know. I do like the fact that Lana, who just last season was engaged / married to one of the most powerful and richest men in the world, and then was presumed dead, just waltzes into the Daily Planet of all buildings, and nobody's like, there's no commotion. There's no, oh my God, Lana Lang is here. Lana Luthor is here. It's just like,
Lana Luthor is alive.
Yeah. She just shows up just to talk to Chloe, and then and nobody notices. Nobody cares.
Where is the news break from that
Lana
guy?
Lana Luthor is alive.
Alive. Shout out to my guy on Channel 52.
So there you go. So both these scenes were good. And she's like, does Clark know? Oh my God. Chloe says that. And Lana's like, no, I told him not to tell you. Like, oh, remind me to be mad at you both later. And so anyway, it was cute. And that's, you know what? I don't buy their friends a lot. And I actually bought their friends in this
in that moment.
Scene. So why did this scene get deleted? Well, in the companion, Holly Herald had this to say, quote, we wanted it to be a tender, wonderful scene, but because the episode ended up being so large with all the effects and the whole beauty pageant, we realized we weren't doing the sequence justice at all. So they just decided to just kill it all. Like, not have, it's like, okay, maybe write another scene for another episode instead of just saying, you know what, we couldn't live up to our standards. We'll just never see on screen how Chloe and Lana reunite.
Okay.
So, there you have it. So those are two deleted scenes of this episode. But hey, let's get into the episode proper. Fierce.
Listen, Kara, entering a beauty pageant, putting yourself on stage under a spotlight, it's not fitting in. It's standing out.
Right. Kind of like being the captain of a football team. Looks like you wanted the same thing I want. While you were living the all-American dream, I was stuck in some cryogenic coffin, wasting the best years of my life. I don't want to miss out on anything else.
And if you're anything like me, you're going to do this whether I want you to or not. But not until you learn to control your abilities.
Fierce is the third episode of Smallville's seventh season. It aired on October 11th, 2007. It was written by Holly Harold and directed by Whitney Rancic. And hey, all, it's the 100th annual Harvest Festival.
Which we've heard of before, clearly.
Right, Superman and Lois is watching this show. I was like, wow, I thought they just made that up. But it's like, again, it's not something that they've ever mentioned before.
Yeah.
We've been in this town for 6 years. We've never seen the Harvest Festival. We've never heard about it, but it's a very important thing.
Well, look, this is the 100th, so they got to make a big deal
out of
it.
That's fair. Nobody cares about 97, 96, yeah. 95. No, we're at the 100th anniversary of it. And we have Clark and Kara, and they're wearing, Kara.
What'd you just say?
I was seeing if you noticed or not. Lawrence has a very strong aversion to the Supergirl TV show pronunciation of Kara. So, in case you guys didn't know. But anyway, we have Clark and Kara, and they're wearing their flannel, but Kara's wearing some midriff flannel. Because I guess they decided that every costume that Laura Vandervoort has to wear is midriff for some reason.
So far.
I mean, it's cute, but it's like, come on, have her, at least in the episode, she at some point, she's like, okay, this is more covered up, right? So.
Oh, when she does the super change?
Yeah, because it's just like, okay, we get it.
I mean, Supergirl in the comics, when she was reintroduced around this time, that's what the artist put her in. She rocked that type of look for a lot of that.
Well, you know what? Clark Kent in the comics this time had glasses, okay? I see your midriff and I raise you glasses. But you know what? It is nice to see Clark mentoring someone. I always liked this in the show, and I've always remembered this and gravitated toward this. I like him just being, I mean, he's Jonathan Kent now. He's the father with this younger person who he has to help navigate because she wants to be normal. And he's like, no, you got to fit in. You got to slow down, right?
They have different definitions of normal. She wants like earthly experiences, and he's like, he's so ready to like deny her those things to protect her identity.
And they're still getting to know each other too. So there's some friction there as well.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Clark tells her you need to fit in, and she looks around. Who does she see? Henry James Olsen taking some pictures.
Ba, 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 ba.
What is that?
That's just what was going on in her head when she saw Jimmy.
I recognize it, Lance.
Yep.
I can hear it.
There you go.
Okay.
The only reason I didn't sing along with you is because it would not be in sync.
Yeah, okay. It's all good.
And look, good for Jimmy. But of all the people there, she's going to like zero in.
Of all the people to like get heat vision eyes over.
Yeah.
Aaron Ashmore?
Come yeah.
on. Not even Sean Ashmore?
It's so funny you say that because I don't know what it is, but there's something actually like hotter about Sean Ashmore
100%.
Than Aaron Ashmore. I don't know. They're twins, but there's just something about him.
Maybe it's just the hair.
I think it
style.
Is the hair.
You know, I don't know. Anyway, even on Smallville, I'm not even talking like X-Men or anything. I'm just their appearances on this very show. So she gets some heat vision and almost burns the whole festival down, as Clark says later. He's like, it's okay. It used to happen to me all the time.
Yeah.
Which is, that's cute. Then we find out about this legend of a prospector who buried some gold.
Right? Yeah. And it leads to the legend of there being some gold in the town, and there's a treasure map hidden in a time capsule. And I love how she just, you know, Kara just uses her X-ray vision to just like, why do we care about this?
Clark's like, how did you know it was in there? Unless you just use your power. Clark, come on.
Yeah.
Like X-ray vision is fine. No one can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that's very, I think it's very, I'm going to make a note of that. Kara, when she wanted to see through something, she used her X-ray vision. Okay, make a note of that.
Okay.
In a few minutes, she's not going to do that.
Fair enough.
But then the weather girls show up.
Yes, very
they
mean
do.
Girls like.
And this is very much like that Wonder Woman episode we talked about on the Patreon, right? Where it's like this car and they're all loud and all that. Anyway, I actually thought more about that than Miss Congeniality during this episode. But they're clearly going to be the freaks of the week, aren't they?
Yes.
Also, Lauren, did you get Powerpuff Girl vibes from them because of their costumes and their color choices?
Like, yes. I definitely was thinking about Powerpuff Girls. Like, I made a bunch of notes on this entire episode, and I didn't see anywhere where I could mention it, but the color scheme, absolutely. So two things is I'm almost 30 and I'm still waiting to have an entrance like this at some point in my life, even if it's in some like Nowheresville place like Smallville. Second note is they totally wanted to use like celebrity skin for this intro song, but they couldn't afford it. Mm. Like, so they found like a version of it they could afford.
Some knockoff or some cover band thing.
Yeah. So they're like the da 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 da.
Yep.
But they did. Yeah.
And in the companion, it says that their powers were to control wind, heat, and cold, which, okay, cold, we see
did
a
we
lot.
Ever see heat?
We did
we
not.
Never see. Heat must be the one that was going to betray them for her boyfriend, mm-hmm. because we see
oh,
a
was
wind.
Heat blonde? And,
yeah.
Yeah, heat must have been the blonde. Okay. Whichever Powerpuff Girl that, that, I don't know if you want to assign them those identities or not, but.
Yeah, well, I mean, technically, if we're going to do that, she would be Blossom because she was wearing the pink.
However, it seems like Buttercup. The one we would think is Buttercup
exactly,
has more of the Blossom personality.
You're exactly
oh my god!
Right?
The language we're speaking right now.
And you know, in case you missed their names in the episode, Tyler,
Blossom, Bubbles, and Buttercup.
It's not their names, but yes, their names are Tyler, Carly, and wait for it.
Of course, one of them's Carly.
Wait for it, Tempest.
Tempest.
I wonder which one that
their
is.
Their names are Blonde, White Brunette, and Black Brunette.
Yep.
But, okay, the girl whose name is Tempest, who gets the wind powers, it's like Scar from Lion King, having her his name being Scar before he got a scar. Like, this doesn't make any sense. But anyway.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Okay. Your name cannot be Tempest. So they show up, and...
That's when Kara decides, she's like, well, maybe fitting in's not going to be such a bad thing after all, because she sees them going after, you know, Miss Sweetcorn. She's like, I'm going to sign up for that, too.
Mm-hmm. And that's our big hook.
Yep.
Oh, no, Kara's going to try for a beauty pageant. So we go to the opening credits, we come back, and it's Clark working on the farm, because it's the college dropout years.
Yep.
He's working on a tractor. Shelby comes up to him, you know, which is cute. It's always good to remember that Shelby's there on the farm. And... you know, he's working on it. He decides not to turn around when he hears somebody walk up, because we see Lana just like, you know, kind of sneaking in.
Yeah.
You know, he thinks she's Kara.
Yeah.
You know? And then she puts her hand on his shoulder and he turns around and he's like, Lana.
Yeah.
And how many times do characters say each other's names on the show? It's really over the top and ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Should have had a counter for that.
Yeah. It's too late. It's too late.
I don't know.
Don't listen, Corey Moore. Don't listen to him.
Legend.
And actually, that happened to lead a scene too. Chloe was like, Lana.
Yeah.
Look, if you're ever going to express someone's name like that, when you think they've come back from the dead, that's the way to say it.
Yeah, okay.
Right? So it's like, you're like, oh my God. Like, I thought you were dead and you showed up like, Lance. Like, that's what I would say. But it, like, when it'd be like, I don't say like, you show up like, Lance, what are you doing here? Or like, that's every other conversation in Smallville. Like in the series finale, it was like, Lex. It's like, still say it the same way. Mm-hmm. Hope we'll finish. But anyway.
Yep.
Oh, did Lana just get Supergirl's costume off the water tower, by the way? I don't know what she's wearing in the scene, but it looks like just that white gown that Kara had earlier. But hey, Clark and Lana are back and
reunited, and it feels so good.
There you go. You're a big fan of Lana. Lauren, what'd you think of this scene?
I have no idea what's going on with Lana. I never have no idea what's going on with Lana, basically, when I appear on the show. And thankfully, I won't have to know what's going on with Lana in about a year.
There you go.
There's your analysis.
My only thoughts are like literally just like, what is going on? Like, is this the season when she died? Did she just hold like Luther hostage in a swamp somewhere? Like, which season is this?
Yeah, did she stop by the cabin to check on Lionel before she came over?
I mean, not today.
That was
she's got his hand in a bear trap over
was
there.
Was that last year or is that this
that's
year?
This I season. Literally this year.
Which, it's this season.
Which evil Lana
I made that
are we
joke thinking
with?
It was last season.
No, that's coming. That's to be revealed, right? Three episodes, right? Mm-hmm. Until they reunite. That is some incredible restraint.
Yeah, for them.
on the part of the show. And in the companion, this is what they had to say about bringing Lana back. Quote, we thought it was soon enough. Part of the reason anybody tunes in regularly to a television show is to see the characters they're familiar with and love. And dropping any character out for too long is always a bad idea because people get frustrated and worry they aren't going to come back. Said Holly Harold, who wrote this episode. I agree. Where the hell is Lionel Luther? He's my favorite character on this show.
I agree. It's... Why did Erica Drodz only have, like, what was it, 13 episodes a season until season 8 or 9?
People will get confused. If Lois Lane is in more than 13 episodes, they might think it's part of the movies. They're just not going to understand. So we've got to keep that episode count low.
By the way, was it 13 episodes?
It was. There was 13 episodes up until season 8.
9, I think she had 18.
9, okay.
No, in season 8, I think she actually still just had 13.
Right, that's why she has to go away after
Bride. Oh, that's right. Oh, my God.
I'm going to go check on Jimmy for a few months. I'll be back. after Lana comes back.
It was so frustrating. I remembered, like, because, like, season
completely
8.
Completely derailed.
We were both, like, I remember where we were. We watched that. We were just like, you've got to be kidding me.
Gonna go take her and Jimmy. I'll see you later. Sorry we almost kissed, but then your ex-girlfriend came back.
Yep.
We'll get there, y'all.
Reasons I hate Lana Lang. Continued. Anyway, what were we talking about?
So Clark and Lana reunited, and it feels so good. And then we cut to which Powerpuff Girl is this?
Oh, this is Blossom.
Blossom. Okay, Blossom's on the phone with her boyfriend.
Actually, Blossom,
yeah.
Or like color coded Blossom, color-coded or personality Blossom.
Color coded Blossom.
This is blonde. This is fire.
Exactly. Oh, and now we know that if you didn't play Pokemon, this is how we know that ice trumps fire.
Yes.
That's right.
Absolutely. Use that Lapras, baby.
Because she's on the phone with her boyfriend, like, trust me, don't worry about it. In a few days, that money will be just yours and mine and nobody else's. And we'll be away from here. So she goes into what I assume is Nell's flower shop.
I guess.
That got sold or turned into, I don't know what shop this is, I guess she's the only person in the store. I don't know if other people died or not. They don't really talk about it.
No.
But then we just see, boom, Frozen.
Yeah.
Let it go.
And I do like the way they do this. It feels so season one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's like they just show you something that's shocking, that's like in broad daylight, that looks a little macabre, and then they just don't address it. Like, they just cut.
Speaking of season one, Cole Powers, right? This is cool. This is the same. Yeah. This is the same exact
same
like
thing.
The fifth episode of Smallville.
Yeah. And the girl who died was Hothead, the third episode.
Yep.
You know? Have we had wind yet on the show?
Guess not.
Do we ever get wind on the show?
No weather wizards
we get
on the
bees.
Show.
Do we get earth? Because then we have earth, wind, and fire.
Yeah, we do get earth. The subterranean.
There it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we go from that, death, to Clark and Lana at home, happier than ever, right? Yeah. And Lana's dropping some lines on him, like, well, I'm trying to protect you.
Yeah.
All this kind of, all the same things Clark used to say to her, which is, is it like poetry and rhymes? Is it,
I mean,
is
I
it
guess.
A fun reversal? I don't know. You tell me.
I mean, I guess. I mean, I hear those words now, and like the only thing I'm thinking of is Heroes. Always hold on to Heroes.
Trying to protect you, Claire. We got to do that show one day.
We have to.
But Clark, you know, once he kind of gets past his like whiplash of her coming back from the dead, he smiles. He's very happy.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I lied and I did some bad things and I did some illegal stuff and I want to just take care of that. I'm like, what is she in trouble for?
Serious crime.
Is it stealing Model 503 and blowing it up in Lex's property and stuff?
I guess.
Is it the $10 million that Lex says that she stole
There's
without
that.
Knowing about, right? I'm not sure what she's actually in trouble for, but
kidnapping Lionel Luther.
One thing that's consistent is you cannot ask me what is up with Lana, because I won't know.
And then in this scene, Clark's like, I can't wait to tell Chloe. And Lana's like, no. Can't tell Chloe yet. Got a lot of stuff to deal with. And I'm like, okay. And so they make it a point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you tune in the next episode and them knowing each other are alive. It's like, whoa, what? Did I miss something? You did. A deleted scene. So, but here we go. I mean, I guess they're back together now. She's just going to stay here.
Yeah.
I wish Martha was still here. She
no
would
joke.
Ask some questions.
She would.
Where have you been, young woman? Right. But now Clark has the run of the farm, and that's that, right?
But then their couple time gets interrupted.
Because Clark's life has gotten a lot more complicated. And who do we see but Laura Vandervoort in her underwear?
No, it's a swimsuit.
Someone in the show wears red undies. There's a super in this show that wears red undies.
That's true. Now in the companion, Laura Vandervoort had this to say about the scene, quote, I've never worn a bathing suit on camera. So of course, like any young girl, I was kind of self-conscious and unsure if I was ready to do that. But they made sure I was comfortable and it was used in a comedic way, so I was okay with it.
You know, flash ahead to like season 10, episode 3, Supergirl? Season
That's 10 correct.
Episode. Mm-hmm. I remember there's an interview quote where she said something where she was more or less like, I wish they gave me a little more heads up, because she didn't know she was going to have a shot where she's wearing like a crop top.
Mm. Oh, well, she should have. Had she not been watching the show?
This is the thing for her.
She's had a crop top in almost every scene. Okay, she should have known. But you're right. That was 3 years later in her defense. So, but Lana's like, oh, that's an understatement. And Clark's like, she's my cousin. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yep.
Everything's fine.
So I know, like, how awful would it be to discover you had a cousin like that hot and like you discover as an adult? So awkward.
I mean, I'm not going to comment on that. We're just going to. But that's the thing about Clark. He only has eyes for Lana, no matter what.
It's true.
So that's not a problem for him. He's
but
the one guy.
But it's so weird. The show doesn't shy away from it either, which I appreciate.
You know, what's interesting is in the comic books, the original Supergirl was not his cousin. Mm. And she was like in love with Superman. And
yeah.
Like, let's go back and read those comics. So she was the Kara from season 3 on Smallville.
There you go.
Right? Because she was here to, that was so weird. You remember
to get their Imagine Dragons on.
With the first, yeah, with the first. Yeah. Oh,
with
they
Adrian
just kiss. Okay, there's no Imagine Dragons here. This is Imagine Lizards or something. No, I don't know.
But they make out. Yeah. Like, they do. They like. They don't just kiss.
And I
they
remember
make
sitting
out.
There. You know, when you think it's the real Supergirl for the first time, a Superman fan, you're watching like, wait, they're cousins. No, it's like Empire Strikes Back. Stop. You don't know. But anyway, everything's fine because they're just all family, right? And they're like, hey, you can't be wearing that.
go change, please.
Tom really does a good job in this episode. It's like, look, man, you know, like changing gears, and he's not just...
Tom does a lot of heavy lifting with his eyes in this episode.
Lots of eyebrow with acting, expressions. Lots of react. Like season one, Tom Welling could not have pulled this off. But season seven, Tom Welling is here for the eyebrows and facial tics and eye contact.
Yeah.
Like he shows up at the end, he's like, that doesn't belong to you. Like the Superman thing he usually does.
Yeah.
But outside of that, he has a lot of range to play with in this episode. And I like how he's like, you can't wear that. You stay inside, young lady.
Yeah.
That's not how you fit in. You change right now. And then she goes in super speeds right now. And Kara's like, you said right now. Like, I don't know. The petulant teenager-ish comes out.
Yeah.
I guess she's supposed to be, what, 17, 18? I don't know.
17, 18.
I would say she's just a little bit older than that. I think I always imagined... I don't know if I had a headcanon whether or not she was older than Clark, but she has to be at least like 19, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, because Clark is season 7. He's 21 ish, give or take.
I could even like imagine her as like 1 year older, but I don't know.
Yeah, because it's Smallville. There's no way we can tell how old anyone's supposed to be by how they look. So that's out the window.
Side note, like this trope of like her walking with a book on her head, I feel like it's so like informed by the 90s. At least I don't know when that started. Like there could be a scene in some Hollywood movie like from like 50 years ago where someone's doing that, but I haven't seen this like trope of like someone practicing walking with a book on their head since I was a kid.
Yeah, Princess Diaries. Right.
Yeah. So like I wonder if Gen Z
McGuire
knows
movie.
That. No, like literally all these movies I watched growing up. Like I don't know if Gen Z knows that this is a thing, because I feel like if you just showed this, they'd be like, why does she have a book on her head? And all of us are like, oh, it's because she's trying to practice being a model. You know, like that's what we think models do, is they walk around with books on their heads. I feel like that even happened in Sailor Moon.
It probably did.
I think season one of Sailor Moon.
I think so. But so, who was it?
It was her and her best friend Molly. Like they were like, do you remember those episode with the photographer guy capturing like the souls?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Love you.
Black wave.
This is when Lana says like, oh, I at least know which side of the family she's from.
Yeah.
So what are you talking about, Lana? like the human side?
That was weird. That was weird. Cause I was like, oh, Lana knows and Clark knows that she knows. This is refreshing.
You really don't know anything about where Lana is in the show. It's true. But I do like how Kara calls Clark out because she's like, this is not fitting in. This is not what I meant. Okay. And she's like, oh, like being captain of the football team. Cause there's like a picture of Clark in the football jersey on the mantle. Like, yeah, it's true. That's what I was saying the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, she's totally calling him out on his nonsense. Rules for thee, but not for me, as the phrase goes, right?
Do as I say, not as I do.
I feel like this is one of those things where it's like, she shouldn't know what football is. She shouldn't so casually be saying, oh, captain of the football team. Like, how does she know what that is?
My headcanon about Kryptonians is that they're earthlings. So she might've seen some like history crystal on that type of stuff. So maybe that's how she knows.
I want a whole episode about that headcanon at some point. Like that blows my mind. Cause I've never thought about it. Cause isn't it like time travel involved with yours?
A little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit, but yeah,
so it'd have to be. Yeah.
So interesting.
But yeah, that's kind of how I headcanon it. But yeah, but I do see your point though. If she's alien to this world, right, and she knows a lot about this place. Now granted, she could have like, you know, super studied, like super sped read, right, and caught her stuff up onto things.
I would have loved to have seen that. Have been fun.
So Clark's like, okay, you got me on that.
Yeah.
So if you can prove that you have control of your powers, you can do it. So he takes her out to the bar, and I distinctly remember this is my favorite scenes of the episode when I think about like Supergirl being on the show. I'm like, all right, I think they handled this well, because Superman training Supergirl, even though they're both not the superheroes yet.
This is like a really precious sort of rite of passage slash moment within like Superman media is just the ability to see him nurturing another super he's related to. Mm-hmm. I would love to see more of it. I would love to see more. I mean, guys, can you imagine if there's a show called Supergirl and you never saw stuff like this? Like, holy, that'd be like the worst show ever. Stay tuned for my thoughts on the to be produced show. Not always wanted the Supergirl. Supergirl can go.
Really though, do you want Super? We all enjoy Superman and Lois, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Do we want to see the Arrow versus Supergirl show up over there? Or do we want to keep them separate the way they've been doing?
Separate.
Should keep them separate, but if they want to do something with the Kara Zor-El, they introduce Power Girl,
played by Laura Vandenberg.
There we go.
Done. So,
guys. It's like catnip for me. Yeah. Talking dirty to me. Oh, that'd be amazing.
Technically, aren't we talking nerdy to you? There it is.
You know, that's a great point, though. That, I mean, we're joking about stuff here, but like, we haven't seen any of this in the Arrowverse. We're getting on Smallville. So there you go, y'all. Always hold on to Smallville.
There's a lot of stuff we get in Smallville that we don't get in the Arrowverse.
That's true, but you do get a Superman suit. Just saying. So anyway. But this scene is real cute because they've got these watermelons, this entire wheelbarrow full of watermelons. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what is Gallagher going to show up with a mallet? Like, what's going on here?
Shouldn't it be pumpkins that time of year? Just saying.
It's the harvest.
Yeah.
The harvest festival. Oh, my God. It's because they film this stuff in the summer.
Yep.
It doesn't air till fall.
That's what it is.
That's a great point. Those should be pumpkins. He says, you know what? You're going to put a mug on this melon. And he puts two eyes and a little smiley face. And it's pretty cute, right?
Yeah.
And Kara's like, what am I, five?
I thought that was a little patronizing.
Yeah.
Yes. I really like their dynamic. Mm-hmm. Here. It really is great.
Yes, it is.
And then she just blows it up. And yep. it's all over Clark. And he's like, all right.
And then he freaks out. Do you I mean, do you think that she did that on purpose? Do you think that was like her screw you?
Yes.
Like, I'm not 5 years old?
Yeah.
Well,
and then he just has no sense of fun and he just is like, you're not ready for this.
I think it's a little bit of both because, okay, that's the first watermelon. He brought a whole wheelbarrow. Like, they were going to do that for a while, right? Mm-hmm. And he should have been on the field, you know? Well, he was burning the scarecrow up. Was out on the field.
Look, she totally did that on purpose. She can fly, all right? So that was basically just telling him, screw you.
As she reminds him,
yes.
Earth Boy, right? He's like, oh, I didn't almost burn down the festival.
Yeah, exactly. As somebody who's like recently and consistently has, you know, deals with, you know, teenage girls, like, I totally believe that that is her reaction.
But she's going to live her life her own way. Mm-hmm. She storms
exactly.
off and joins little Miss Sweetcorn pageant. And we get like a pamphlet and mm-hmm. it's like sponsored by the Talon and the Smallville Ledger. So, okay. All right. I buy it. Right. So she goes to this, I guess with the backstage, everybody's getting beautified.
It's the dressing area.
Yeah. The dressing room, the green room.
Yeah.
And she's having trouble with her lipstick, I guess. And mm-hmm. she looks over at the other two Powerpuff
Girls.
We're making up names for them.
Yeah.
This is actually some of the rare foods of the week that have names. They're the Weather Girls, okay. According to Chloe. Meet the Weather
it's
Girls.
It's raining right? men. Hallelujah. It's raining men. Amen. You say the Weather Girls. You can't not yep. say that.
That's true. Got to do it. So Kara overhears. Well, actually, she doesn't overhear them, does she? It's like shot like she's overhearing them.
Yeah. But no, they're just talking.
But they were like, hey, we got to do something about the other one. She's mm-hmm. like, why did you do that? Well, she was going to betray us. Blah, 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 you know. But it's not. And then this is me not being as familiar with this as the rest. I was like, oh, no, we lost one of our crew. We need a third. Mm-hmm. Right. That's not at all what happens. Like,
no.
Kara goes over to them and is like, hey, you guys are pretty. Could you help me with my makeup? And she's like, girl, your makeup is the only thing that needs help.
How to make friends with other girls. You're pretty. Help me.
Only in the CW, you can have gorgeous people telling other gorgeous people you're ugly is basically what they're telling her. Like, and they would just do that to be rude anyway, but still, right?
I do want to talk about their beauty for a second because, like, the loudest thought I have about these girls is they cast, like, they somehow managed to cast, like, these gorgeous girls, but, like, also with forgettable faces. Like, their faces are, like, they're not unique. Like, they're super pretty, but they're like an amalgamation of like every hot girl ever. So it's like, I don't actually, if I had to pick them out in like a police lineup, I couldn't.
I just, no, they're like a Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition girl.
Where yeah, it's yeah, like yeah. Just, okay. Your mind just kind of actually blurs out their actual face. You just register it. That's it. Yeah. So the more I looked at Buttercup, but with Blossom's personality slash white brunette.
Yes.
Tempest.
If you look at her face actually reminds me a lot of Alicia Silverstone, but if you just like stretched out, like if you elongated it.
Interesting.
Look at her again. Like once you see it, you can't unsee it. I spent the entire episode thinking, like, who do you remind me of? And I was like, you look a little bit like Demi Moore, but you also look a little bit like a million Demi other girls.
I get the Demi Moore.
That's good. I get that.
But, like, look at her lip area. Once you see it, the you can't unsee it.
It's in the smile.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That kind of slightly crooked smile.
It's the clueless Silverstone smile.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Like young Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah. Like the crazy video Alicia Silverstone.
Were we talking about something?
I think so.
Too much fun.
Yeah, the mean girls basically just shoot her down.
Oh, yeah. They're like, you have a lot more to work on than your makeup.
And Kara's like, oh, okay. Thanks. So there was no super hearing?
No.
There was no, we need a third for our... They were literally talking about, hey, one of our three is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then a third girl walks up. I thought, having watched television my whole life, I was like, oh, well, clearly, oh, what an opportunity. We'll take the third. But no, she gets caught up in a bag. Now, they do that for like 5 minutes in this episode, and that's like it. But anyway, Kara's all upset, so she goes outside in the back. And I assume this is Nell's flower shop because it's attached to the towel. And it wasn't that close. Anyway, but she hears this cracking of like ice. Right in the back alley, because nothing good happens in the back alley behind the talent.
Mm-hmm.
Kara's like, oh, what's going on over here? And instead of using her x-ray vision like she did like 10 minutes earlier in the episode to see through something, she goes up to the glass, slowly wipes it off, and we see a corpse, and it's the third Powerpuff Girl in there.
Yeah.
Chalker! Again, very season one more. Good call. There we go. That's our sting out. And we come back, and Luther Corp. Stock footage.
Yep.
Panning up from Luther Corp Plaza, back from season two, stock footage. And we get Agent Joaquin Phoenix. He's here to talk to Lex.
He does not look like Joaquin Phoenix.
He looks just like Joaquin Phoenix.
No, he doesn't. What,
Lauren, we come on. Help me out here.
I mean, the first time I heard you say it, I laughed. But I don't know if... you know what? He's kind of like a white brunette, where it's like, your face looks like a lot of faces put together.
Yeah.
I don't know which one it closely resembles.
Someone said, you know that guy from Gladiator? Can we cast a guy who looks kind of like that? Those were the instructions, all right? And that's who they found, right? The guy from Gladiator, and I guess Signs at this point, right?
Yeah.
That's basically where he's going to fame at the time.
Yeah,
Tim Coates.
Yeah, this is not like, you know, when you say, you know, Hawkman from Lord of the Rings, because that makes sense.
When I say Hawkman from Lord of the Rings, who do you think of, Lauren?
I don't speak Lord of the Rings. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Fair. Like, it took me. I don't speak Powerpuff Girl. I don't speak Lord of the Rings. It's okay. We're all not fluent in all these languages. That's why we have to come together. The powers combine. Because if we could do it all together, we wouldn't need each other. So
together we are more.
But this is the subplot you cut out.
Yeah.
With special Agent Carter, by the way, which is hilarious. That's what his name is.
Oh, yeah.
And he tells Lex, hey, you've been looking for this girl around. So he pulls out the picture that Lex drew, gave his private eye, who shows back up at the end, by the way. He's like, you've been passing this around town. Who is this? And Lex is like, she saved me. And what?
No, like you said, private eye. Oh. And then Lauren started doing Hall & Oates. And I was like, yes.
Very good. Very good.
That's what I'm good for on this show. Know that whenever you sing in episodes, I'm singing along with you.
The sing song is very good. So Lex decides to cover for her.
Yeah.
He's like, I know you're looking for a spaceship. I know you're looking for this girl. What are we going to do here? We don't like each other, that kind of thing. And we just kind of established that in this scene. And when we follow up on it later.
Basically.
And again, this only leads to the very end where Lex talks to Kara for the first time. Other than that, you don't need any of this. Lex doesn't even factor into the resolution of the Department of Homeland Security subplot.
Anyway.
I will say, like, even though in the context of the episode, it could have been cut, I do think it's fun when Smallville does these sort of like case studies with their own characters. Because season 7 is kind of like a rehashing, like, how would have Lex have acted towards a super that entered his life?
Mm-hmm.
And then similarly, next season, you know, when Clark meets Tess, he rescues her out of a vehicle, and it's like, what's like, what was their relationship going to be like?
Yeah,
you know,
it's an interesting point.
I enjoy that.
Another moment though in this scene is before Agent Carter walks in, Lex is just kind of pondering his wedding ring.
Yeah,
you know what? I liked it more when you said Agent Joaquin Phoenix, because now I'm just thinking of Peggy.
Yeah. Look, I didn't name the character Agent Carter.
Yeah.
Surely that was not an in joke.
No.
Right?
No, it's because whenever you work on a show like this, you just have like a list of like predetermined acceptable white names that you're just going to assign to any character.
Coach Carter? That's what I think too. That's Samuel L. Jackson. So Carter is not a white name to me. 2000, that was around this time, wasn't it? That was like early 2000s.
I think that movie came out before this season.
That's right.
Starring Wild Dog.
Somebody was like, man, I really love that Coach Carter. That's it, Coach Carter. And they're like, Agent Carter. But yes, your point is valid. I understand. There's a Rolodex of interchangeable
just
names.
Just generic names in general. So like you don't think too hard about it. And like you just, it doesn't interrupt
the viewing process.
They don't want you to assign too much thought to it.
Well, and that's why I call him Agent Joaquin Phoenix. Because just forgettable wallpaper name. But anyway, we move on from there. We go to Jimmy's back. And he really did go take pictures of polar bears in the Arctic. That's what he went off to do at the end of season six. And he's back and he's talking to Chloe. And he's like, yeah, we're gonna get these meteor freaks, Chloe.
Yeah. I mean, also, like, I was too distracted by, like, the photo he took that he was showing off. And it looked like a picture of, like, Bulk and Skull. Like
Power Rangers.
It totally did. Like, there's a big guy and a skinny dude. They're both, like, flexing.
And then Grant Gabriel comes in and he's talking on his speakerphone all obnoxious, like,
because
he's like a douche. And I'm like, so we're not supposed to like him, right?
Correct.
Like, so yeah, so I don't like him. So then why am I supposed to like him later when he's like dating Lois and then Lex's brother? Spoilers. Like, I don't care. And like, they're not doing a terrible way of endearing me to him.
The $1 million question is whether or not Michael Cassidy speaks like that in real life.
I don't think anyone speaks like that in real life.
I would hope not.
This is high school production of Perry White. Some 15-year-old trying to be like, I'm a tough newspaper man. Bah, 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 bah.
From the 40s.
Yeah. That's in here, see?
Nah.
Extra.
Speaking of 2-1 yesterday. See? Yeah.
So he sees this picture of the dead Powerpuff Girl and the Weather Girl and the Nell's Flower Shop. He's like, that's great. Good job, Sullivan. I knew getting your cousin here and light a fire on you.
No, he calls her Closter, which is like, this is awful. I hate this guy so much.
He got pizzazz, Closter. And he's like, haven't you seen what Lois is doing? I'm like, oh my God, enough, right? But he's all excited about this story. And Chloe's like, no, that's actually not. He's like, no, that's great, cover it. And then Jimmy tries to introduce himself. And that was kind of funny. He's like, yeah, whatever. Like, Jimmy introduces himself and he just couldn't be bothered. And then he just goes off to just not appear again until the deleted scene. Mm-hmm. So that's fine with me. But yikes, I hate this guy.
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
We're going to see if there's any redeeming quality to this guy by the time he gets killed.
He gives Lois her job at the Daily Planet, which is redeeming, but also like an insult.
Yeah.
I know. But still, for canon purposes, he is the reason why she is a reporter at the Daily Planet.
Dang.
And I guess Chloe feels the same way as me about Grant Gabriel, because she's like contemplating killing him with a stapler at the end of the scene, which I was like, okay. Very good. You know what else that he gives us? He gives us Tess's office.
He does.
Next season, his office becomes Tess's office. So from one Luther sibling to another.
There it is.
Both of which the show did not know was Luther's sibling until later on, and they didn't know what to do with him. So, then you got Lana and Clark just hanging out back at the farm. They're like drinking lemonade and having a good old time. And Lana was all worried that Clark was not going to forgive her for faking her death and all this stuff. And Clark's asking no questions here.
No, because he's dumb and in love. That's what it is.
But she's giving him, some advice. And he's like, wow, I never thought that you'd be the one telling me this and you'd be telling me that. And then she says, I guess you don't know me as well as you think you did. And I'm like, yeah, no shit. Because Lionel Luther's locked up in a bear trap right now. Yep. You stole $10 million from Lex. But you're just the same old sweet Lana that I love when I was 5 years old, spying on you with a telescope. So whatever. if Martha was here, she would not allow
this
to be going on. We'll cut back to the Talon and Jimmy's just shooting pictures away at the
pageant rehearsal. The reason why he's there is because Grant sent them down there to cover the murder. But then he notices the two remaining Powerpuff Girls talking, and he very conspicuously goes over to take photos of them and then just try to casually walk off like he didn't mean to.
That was probably the funniest shot of the episode. He's like, oh sorry. As if they
wouldn't see him. What would a 21-year-old man do?
Yeah. That.
But another thing is, we see the new sheriff.
We do.
Yeah. He's not a character. He's just an interchangeable player guy. But the sheriff comes to tell the lady in charge about, what's been going on and stuff. And
can we talk about this lady for a second?
Let's talk about her.
Like, this woman has got to be like in her 30s still. But like, they like do their best to like dress her up as like this sort of like den mother.
Yes.
Yeah, she caricature. Is jury.
She.
Keep the hand at the level of your eyes.
She has like a pink cardigan. She has like a Jackie O haircut and pearls. Like literally a
100%
pearl necklace.
Jackie O vibes. Good call.
Like, I was just like, no one in their right mind dresses like this in the mid first decade of the 2000s. And like,
no one except for my Jacqueline.
She's not even that much older than them. They just really wanted to have her show up and be like this like frumpy pageant mom character.
50s yeah. housewife is what we're going for with this character, but that's true. That was a choice, I guess, for fashion, hairstyle, and look. Absolutely. But then Jimmy goes out to his car, which is like it's a Volvo.
It's a Volvo.
I think it's like a blue Volvo.
Yeah.
So I hope it gets good mileage because he's driving 3 hours back and forth every day.
I do love how Jimmy has like this car that like it just kind of looks like his dad let him borrow it, and then like he kept it after like using it for so long.
Yep.
That's true. Well, you know, as you find out, his family's like rich. That's who he could afford to buy the Watchtower in season 9. But we'll continue to examine the Jimmy Olsen, Henry James Olsen family tree later on. But yeah, this is just some hand-me-down from his dad, some Volvo.
Yeah.
So he gets in the car and we know what's going to happen.
He gets a huge shot of Freon.
Freon, yeah. And that's what it is. The funny thing to me is like he's getting like cold air blasted to him, so he goes and he reaches to the air conditioner and switches it to heat.
With the car not even on, he has not even put the key in the ignition.
Clearly, he's already suffering the effects of hypothermia because he's not thinking straight.
This is what people do in horror movies. They do dumb stuff. They just don't think. Like, you know, any logical person would be like, oh, gonna open this car door because what's going on?
But no. To the show's credit, he does try to open the car door and it breaks off because it's frozen.
Yep.
So good on you, Smallville. But then he sees Ice. Isn't there a superhero named Ice?
There's Icicle.
No.
Oh, yeah, superhero. Yeah, Ice. Yeah, Fire and Ice. And they're Justice League members.
She's in the Justice League of America pilot.
Yeah.
Played by Rafi from Star Trek Picard. Same actress, Michelle Hurd. But anyway.
Are you talking about like that 1997 movie?
That is correct. Mm-hmm. She is one of the Justice League members in there, featured in there. So anyway, that's Ice. Not this Ice, though. Because Jimmy is frozen to death, right? And then Kara comes out, rips the car door off.
Yeah.
And then we hear a lot of other sound effects of cool special effects happening, but we don't see them. We just see the reaction shot of Ice, which I'm going to call her now. You know, the shot of her holding up the door, it's a pretty good visual. So it's a iconic shot.
It's funny, just like the way they managed to incorporate the super colors on her. Like the fact that she's wearing like these red leggings, leg warmers. I don't know. It's fun. Well,
they did a really good job of putting her in her own pseudo Superman costumes over the years, like especially when she comes back in season 10 as well. So I was really liked how they did that with her wardrobe. So then we go to commercial. We come back and Lex is going over to the Kent farm.
Yeah.
This is awkward, huh?
Very. I like how Lex just, you know, kind of waltzes in, similar to how like Clark would waltz into the Luther mansion, but this time he meets Lana, who's chopping fruit.
She's like, what is it, limes or something?
I think she's making an apple pie.
Okay.
Those are green apples.
Amazing.
She's got a lot of apples. She's really embracing this, but Lex goes to sit down. She's like, no, don't sit down. You're not going to be here long. And like, he's such a simp here, isn't he?
Lex is down bad is what it is. Lex, like this entire scene would be a tweet thread on dudes down bad.
Because she's like, okay, hey, you said you set my life back up. He's like, yeah, well, I did this, I did that, and you know, this is taken care of, and this and that. And so I was thinking maybe, you know, just know that all the things I did, no matter how horrible, I did them because I loved you. And she's like, okay, enough.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done. Get out of here. And it's sad to see Lex Luthor reduced to this, right?
Yeah, but like he's the villain, so.
Well, no, I know, but I'm talking like season 1. I always go back to this. I've said this many times on the podcast. When like he screws over Victoria, right? He's like, I plan on being great all by myself in season 1, right?
Yes.
We could have been great together, right? And I'm like, that's Lex Luthor, right? Except for when it comes to Lois Lane, which he's a total simp for on Lois and Clark. But that's fine because it's Lois Lane, right? Lauren has no memory of this happening, but it's in it's in Leech. With Sean Ashmore, come on.
Yeah.
Why do you think I have no memory of Leech?
Because this happened in that episode. And you're like, what? Oh. Anyway.
I didn't know. Sorry. I just didn't know who Victoria was.
That was his British girlfriend.
Yep.
Oh, this okay. This sounds a little familiar.
Hooks up Lionel after they break up.
Yep.
And Roger Nixon's like, your father first arranged this. Right. So anyway.
Very Game of Thrones like.
I go back to that when I think about Lex Luthor just, you know, not being completely like.
The difference is he didn't, like, as he says, like he didn't, you know, actually love any of those people. He was down bad for Lana. So that's why it's like this. Everybody is all big and bad until they find that one.
Ah. Like Beauty and the Beast, starring Kristen Kirk on the CW.
There it is.
Hashtag it's all connected. So anyway.
Two thoughts, even though we know that he was creeping on her when she was like 14 years old and taking the bite out of the apple in the first episode. Besides that, does he like her or does he just want what Clark has?
Both. And I think it started off.
It started out with Clark.
Yes.
And then he was like pseudo, like, you know, like pseudo cultivating, like a relationship between them to like almost feel better about himself. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, like
he was like living vicariously like Clark. He,
like courting her by proxy, I think that's the right term.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's some tickets to the new concert.
Fireworks at like the party and stuff.
Tickets to the art gallery.
See, you remember season one? You're talking about fire. Yeah, there you go. Fireworks. So, yeah,
I watched the show.
He loved what she represented.
Sorry, one more disclaimer. I will be a completely different person when we get to season eight. I promise. I will be like the best co-host ever.
Encyclopedic knowledge.
Just like the show is a completely different show in season eight, I will be a different host
nice.
In season eight.
Well
there
done.
It is. Well done. Already a great co-host right there. So, what deal is with Lex is, I think, he loved what she represented, like, as a person, and then, like, what it could represent for him, like, to be with her, you know? Mm-hmm. It was more, like, the idea and all that kind of stuff than necessarily her. Obviously, yeah. He used her and treated her horribly,
yeah.
Right? I mean, faking the pregnancy, all the things he put her through, unforgivable stuff, right? So I think that's where he lands on it. But it's as close to as true love he has found, and it's because of all these other factors that we talked about, like Clark's factor and all that. Because I was so fixated on getting one up on Clark and jealous of him, like, ah, I got your girl, right? That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway. But she's like, hey, get out of here, right? And he does, which he kind of pulls up from this nosedive of respect I had for him in this scene. He's like, so I understand Clark has a cousin in town. I look forward to meeting her. So he's kind of connected what's going on.
What next happens is we go to the hospital. There's a plus one because Jimmy's in the hospital.
That's right. Hospital visit plus one for Henry James Olsen.
Shout out to the makeup team, by the way, for like giving him like literal like freezer burn. Mm-hmm. Like the burn from like, I guess, like the ice frostbite.
Yeah.
In the companion, they talk about how they did that. Mike Walls, the special effects supervisor, said, quote, the makeup department did a really fantastic job on their skin. And then we froze them up around the edges with wax. So that's how they do that person looking blue, looking like they're having... You know, it happened to everybody in Cool.
Yeah.
When they got froze, happened to Chloe when she was in the fortress. And they, like, I don't want to ever know what that would look like if it happened to me, but it tracks. I believe that person's been frozen.
I feel like in a CW show in 2021, they wouldn't bother with that effect.
They would CGI them blue in post, and that would be...
I just don't think they would go to the effort of showing what, like, frostbite looks like.
Mm. Maybe so. But then I like the scene, too, here, because Clark's, like, talking, kind of giving Kara, like, did anybody see you and all this stuff? She's like, oh, nobody saw me. Like, you've just been on my case since I got here. And then she kind of storms off. And I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, another thing for your tally board, you know, he shows up in the costume.
That's right. Plus one for the blue shirt, red jacket. Is it summer still? No, it's fall. That's right.
It is fall because it's
watermelon season. So that's how we know. Anyway.
Which wouldn't have been so cute to have seen a heat vision smile on a pumpkin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been.
That, like a jack-o'-lantern. Like,
exactly.
How did I not see this?
I don't know.
I guess there were no pumpkins in Vancouver
in
July when they filmed this.
Yeah.
Props department. Make one.
Yeah.
Chloe pulls out her file on the Weather Girls, and they've been best friends since kindergarten, which doesn't matter because it's not the first meteor shower. It's the latest meteor shower that gave them their powers. And to quote one of them later, they were just in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
So...
And that's
whatever.
Yeah. We find that out in the very next scene because, you know, Kara's thinking about like quitting. The remaining Powerpuff Girls decide to recruit her to join with them on their heist attempt.
Because they seal. Because I saw her use their super strength. They know she can just bust into that. They're not going to have to wait for the beauty pageant anymore like they were going to if they opened the time capsule, right? They were just going to bust it out now.
This is what I was talking about, it having like elements of like a 90s/early 2000s teen movie. Like when the girl starts doing her lipstick for her, it felt very like she's all that mean girls. Just like this idea of like the popular HBIC, like taking someone in, but then like not actually being on their side.
Yes.
And I completely forgot about this part.
Yes.
Okay. So they show Kara a picture. Right. They're kind of trying to
the gold.
Win her over. Oh, like, oh, we're going for this gold. Right?
I did too.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, some, you know, fake 1900 picture or whatever.
Yeah. Right? Or like what, 1880s?
Oh, some old prospecting guys, right? And then we zoom in and there is a Kryptonian medallion hanging on the stand. I'm like, what was this? How did I completely forget about this?
I used to want like one of these like stainless steel, like almost like guitar pick chip like things so badly.
Like Joe in Relic.
Yeah.
Which this is a reused
1961.
Prop of that, by the way. Yeah, Smallville 1961. So this is Dax Sir, right? Mark McClure?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. I mean, I haven't watched these episodes. Like, literally,
I remember his name on the show. This episode yet. I assume this is his. And like, you know what, Smallville? For all the crap I give you about the Veritas window, which you're about to see again, not be there.
Yep.
You had some forethought,
yeah.
about the Mark McClure being on Earth,
yeah,
for 100 years or so.
That's where all of the forethought went. Was for this, not for Veritas.
No. They're like, I just change it out. Nobody don't care.
Yeah.
So she's going to be, she's looking for friends.
Yep.
Right. New girl in town. Right. Wants acceptance and all that. So she's town. Like, these girls, they're popular. They want me to be part. Sure. I'll help them out. Right. Just some stupid old stuff anyway. So she says, count me in. Right. And then we cut to commercial because, oh no, Kara's going to join the bad guys. Mm-hmm. Right. And then we cut to just the trashed time capsule.
Yeah.
With the map being gone.
They didn't spend a lot of time on that.
No, not really. I mean, they're like, yeah, she double-crossed us. And
yeah,
so.
because we think maybe all did together, but mm-hmm. The reveal is like, no, the other two girls are like, she Little Miss Sunshine.
Yep.
They're just pop culture references everywhere.
Yep.
And she has taken the map for herself.
Yeah.
Because she joins really for all these factors, but also the Kryptonian thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Because also remember, she's still like unsure about what her mission is here.
Because she's looking for a crystal.
Yeah.
Right, back to the pageant. Clark comes in. It's interesting that they deleted the scene where he comes in as well, because it would have been the exact same beat.
Yeah.
Of like Clark just kind of wandering in and looking confused, standing in the back multiple times. That would have been funny. But this is now, these are swimsuits.
Yeah.
And they're all in their swimsuits doing their beauty pageant thing, right? Everybody's giving a big applause. And of course, these are all extras that we've never seen before and we'll never see again. This is in the theater part of the talent, I guess, right?
I assume so.
Because I thought we never saw this anymore for like season two, but that's pretty cool that we get to see this set, which is probably just all the chairs moved out and a platform moved in, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys notice that they said Kelly Clarkson when they were calling out the names of the contestants?
That was one of them, yeah.
Ah, Kelly Clarkson.
Ah, Kelly Clarkson. Since you've been gone.
That's crazy. They've used Kelly Clarkson music.
Yeah.
On this show. How dare you, show. But then that's where the deleted scene missing it is kind of like, oh, well, I didn't really get to see him do much. Like, I like to see, you know, the competition and more other things, like the talent show. And then here it's just like a beauty pageant, but it's more to it than that.
If this were like a Smallville season one episode, I feel like there would have been an allegory somewhere in here, you know, like, you know, in the like Everwood sort of like style or something.
Props
so
for the
in the case
reference.
That they
Everwood, where the snow caps are white and the people are too. Everwood.
So in an alternate universe where we get this like in season one or something, there would have been that, what would you do if you could make the world a better place or something, whatever. What do you think her answer would be? It would have to like tie into the theme of the episode.
The centralized theme thing definitely worked wonders in season one. And I think, you know, like if they started off this one with, you know, like, you know, what would you do to change the world type of thing? That could be something that Kara could have answered. Clark could have answered in conversation with Lana. She could have answered, but like she could have said something, but we like that there would have been a double meaning, right?
Yes.
The same thing with Lex. Kara could have asked it to Lex, or Lex could have asked it to, you know, to Lana. There's multiple opportunities for something like that. So you're right in that case. That could have been cool for this episode.
Yeah, no, that was very common early Smallville to have different plot lines mention the same things for no reason, and they have no reason to talk about them, but they do. Like, that would have been great if there was a speech at the end, right?
Yeah.
And then it's like,
well, there typically are speeches in pageants,
like,
so
yeah. Well, no, exactly. And then like her speech at the end would have been like, what I want to do on this planet is da da da.
It could have started off with, you know, what her speech was, right? Like that's like the opening narration, but then like we get it later in the episode.
Well, 24 hours earlier in media res.
There it
that's
is.
How I should have started. We found it. We cracked the episode. So much better now. So does that answer your question?
Bullseye.
Not really. Like, I was looking for an actual answer. Like, would she say, like, what if there was a prompt in there where it was like, what would you do to make the world a better place or something? Maybe she could say something like, I would, like, something in the vein of, like, I want everyone to have, to find family or something.
Yeah, hers would likely be family-centric.
Yeah,
and she'd say something, and then that, like, and that could have been the thing that would get Clark to be like, I need to, you know, ease up on her. And, you know, because, you know, as he says at the end of the show, of the episode, he's like, what, you know, isn't that what family's for?
There you go.
There we go.
Thanks, Vin Diesel. So,
family.
So then we cut up, before we find out who won, cut away to Luther Mansion, and Agent Joaquin Phoenix is there visiting Lex, and Lex is like, yeah, so this girl, she's an angel. She saved me, not from the car.
It doesn't like that.
But from my wicked ways.
Are you an angel? What? An angel.
These space pilots talk about that.
Oh, Anakin. Oh.
Could we continue with it? I was laughing so bad.
No, I was like, but also like we get a another close up of the drawing, and it's
looks
Rose.
Nothing like Laura Vanderbilt.
It's Rose.
Yeah.
Draw me like one of your French girls, Jack.
It really is style of that sketchbook. It really is. Because it looks nothing like Laura Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
This is where, but this is how Lex covers for her. He's like, you can stop looking for her. She doesn't exist. Right. Hmm. It's like, okay. Like, he's protecting her, so it's that, okay, we're going to see where that goes.
Trying to protect you, Kara.
Right. But then he goes into talking about the spaceship. He says, you know, I've had some experience in that area.
Yeah.
He, and then he says, like, the work of the dam and all this stuff. So he, like, hands over all this information to...
Yeah.
Well, 300 Phoenix gigabytes. Here. But we get a great shot of the stained glass window.
Yep.
With no Veritas in it.
There's an L in there.
There definitely an L. They don't interact after this scene, though, do they?
Lex I don't think
and so. Joaquin Phoenix, because he's his own little plot line.
Yeah.
And Laura. When he uses the Memoria technology to do the same thing we did to Clark 4 years earlier. But there we go, right? Lex mm-hmm. has gotten Joaquin Phoenix off Kara's trail. Now they're just focusing on the spaceship, which they already... Well, the spaceship got destroyed.
Yeah. Right?
So... The crystal. So
well, not important. What's important is
none
the very next scene.
None of us watched the show, clearly.
Well, what's important is the very next scene, Kara wins Miss Sweetcorn.
Miss Sweetcorn gets a little sash, the Sweetcorn on it.
Yep.
She gets to bask in the glory of...
She gets the tiara.
She, you know what? She gets to have a happier time being Miss Sweetcorn than Chloe did when she won prom queen. Because Chloe true. Was not herself.
That's so. That's true. And also, Lauren, she tries to make a speech, but she's interrupted she's because arrested. She gets arrested.
But she's like, oh, you're so nice to a new girl. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then boom, right? The new sheriff, not Ethan.
Yep.
Not Adams. Pour one out. Don't worry. We'll see her again this season, though.
Mm-hmm.
But then I like how, you know, she gets arrested immediately. Yeah. So her two friends turned in, you know, with the girls. And they cut to the holding cell.
I love how she immediately tries to break out.
Yes. And Clark immediately.
And then Clark
bends.
Immediately. Yep.
He's like, what are you doing? You stay right here, young lady. Think about what you did. But then she's like, oh, I don't have the map anymore. A gust of wind blew it away when I got arrested. I'm like, oh, okay. Whatever. So Tempest is at work here.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and this is where she tells Clark, she's like, why did you tell me this or that? She's like, oh, you've just ignored everything I've done since I showed up. And there's this, I buy the tension they have.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel manufactured. It feels from where they're both coming from. I feel like that they would have this tension. So
like there's a free gust of wind, right? That's all she describes it as. And so Clark shows up to find the remaining two Powerpuff Girls digging up, you know, what is apparently the treasure.
They have the map.
Yeah, because they have the map. And, it, you know, it looks like, you know, Baron Ryder's map from Arrow Season 4. My God, those flashbacks suck. And they open up the box, and it's just this Kryptonian medallion.
She's like, that's it?
Yeah.
And Clark, this is when Clark, like, puts on a Superman. He's like, that doesn't belong to you. Mm. And I'm like, all right, Superman's here. He's going to save the day. No problem. But then we get one of the most pathetic-looking defeats of Clark in the show. Like, Tempest pulls up this little tornado of asphalt, and then of course there's some meteor rock in it because it's everywhere in Smallville, and it just kind of blows it over, and Tom Welling's like, ah,
yeah.
He falls over. It was
the best part is that he just kind of stares watching her make the gust of wind, right? And then it hits him and he's all of a sudden next to kryptonite.
It was, I don't know, like, I know it's hard to fake these things, but it looked pretty pathetic.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen him act like he got hit by kryptonite much sooner.
Yeah.
But then, like, you can't stop us. And then Kara's like, but I can.
Yeah.
And she shows up and then kicks these girls' asses, right? She hits one of them 30 feet.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool. Already learning.
Kent family.
Yeah.
House of Elves. Family
standard,
you know,
procedure.
Yeah.
And then she does it because she can fly. We want to show it off. She does a flying 360 forward kick against ice, knocks her out too. So
she also heat visions the rock and she doesn't lose her eyesight.
Yes,
thank you. As you all might have recalled, 4 years ago now in Smallville, mm-hmm. when Clark got his superhero, he had a whole episode dedicated to the fact of, because you think to yourself, Superman, right? Why doesn't he just like use heat vision on kryptonite and destroy it far away so it doesn't hurt him? And Smallville, you know what? Smallville had a great answer for that in season 3. Although I don't really love Whisper, like the idea of him, I like the hook of it, the jumping off point of it is a good idea. Everything else is questionable, but that episode. But the fact he using heat vision on Kryptonite, although it was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
But the cooler idea would have been like, hey, I'm going to try to destroy this. Oh my God, I'm blind.
Yeah.
That would have been a cool idea for an episode. But he uses heat vision and hip whisper. It hits Kryptonite. The Kryptonite reflects back at his eyes and messes up his eyes, and he's blind for a while. That's genius. That's why Superman doesn't go around burning up Kryptonite mm-hmm. all the time with his heat vision. This episode comes around. Clark's like, oh, Kara, watch out. The Kryptonite or the whatever, right?
Yeah.
Meteor rocks them. We're allergic to them. Right? He doesn't say that. He should have them. I love it when they say that. And then she uses heat vision on it, and she's fine. And it just, yeah. it just you just completely pissed over a great thing you came up with, and it always pissed me off, you know, because I always thought that was a cool thing they introduced, and they just ignore it. So clearly, Holly Harold, I love you and your work, but you didn't watch that episode of season 3.
It's interesting that you kind of assign that as the reason why he never tries to heat vision it again, because I always got the idea, because we did see this in slow motion, that he might have just hit it at the most unfortunate angle where that happened. I didn't assume that it would happen every single time. I was just making the comment because, you know, it's referential. He also shouldn't have access to heat vision.
Yeah. At that point. But yeah, but also in Kara's defense, she was standing a little pretty far away. It wasn't like directly in front of like her face like it was for Clark in that particular episode. So
that's true. I mean, Smallville isn't consistent with like how the meteor rocks affect him, distance, you know, whatever.
Oh, Smallville's not consistent. And, like, what he- How dare you? It's funny though. I always, you know, we joke about Veritas a lot. I always put this up there with that as a retcon, but I guess I'm alone.
I see your point, but yeah, I guess just looking at all the angles here.
Fair enough. So let's see if he ever tries to destroy heat vision the rest of the
show. It's never going
to
come up again.
In Traveler, doesn't she blow up the Kryptonite cage? Does she use her heat vision on that? We'll find out.
We will.
On the next Dragon Ball Z.
Da 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 da.
But Kara's saving Clark's life. Helps him, you know, make up. He's like, oh, you saved me.
Yeah.
We did it together. We're family. That's what family's for, right?
It was her Steve Kerr moment.
Okay, The Last Dance. Again, different languages. So that's a Michael Jordan documentary. Steve Kerr didn't take any crap from Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player of all time, and he got his respect. So anyway.
that was for Kev.
But yeah, she is like, you're just going to keep giving me a hard time. And Clark's like, yeah, you know what? You're going to do your thing. It's not how I would have done it, mm-hmm. right? But you do it your way, and that's what family's for. And that is the attempt of trying to find that, you know, theme somewhere that, as you were talking about, Lauren, in season 1, they always used to do. That is their, it's still there, sort of.
Yeah.
Right? But it's 6 years later and it's harder to do at this point. But that family. Just shows that they're in a good place now.
With family.
That's right. They're all going to go to Olive Garden and have a never-ending possible because we're your family. But this is good, though. They're in a good place. They had some friction when she first showed up, and now they're in a good place. And now, for the rest of this season, they're going to be a great super family, super team, and I'm looking forward to that.
All
so
right.
No more drama the rest of the season between Clark and his cousin.
None whatsoever.
No, she's going to be here the whole time, too. She's not going to leave. And we go back to the farm, and they're looking at Mark McClure's Kryptonian medallion, as we find out later on. And they're like, it can't be from your ship. It's been here for over 100 years. And like, there was another Kryptonian here on Earth. And
got to find him.
Like, this is not a plus one for Not the Last Son of Krypton yet, because we don't know if they're still alive. We'll find that will be added when we see him for real down the road.
Fair enough.
But they're like, man, how many empty Kryptonians are here? You know, and then Kara's like, I think Earth has a lot more to do with our father's plans than we thought.
Yeah, you know why? It's because that's where they're from.
That's a very Planet of the Apes kind of timeline.
I know.
So I'm all about that. So anyway, but that is a nerd rabbit hole we were not going to fall down in today. So Kara's going to get a job at the talent.
Of course.
Because every woman who works on this show
It's a Smallville rite of passage.
That is correct. You must get a job pouring coffee. I mean, Martha worked there. Lois worked there. Lana, of course, owned the place.
Yep.
We're bringing the talent back, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure, and that's great. She'll have a job the rest of the season.
Yeah,
it's a great way to incorporate her. She'll get to have scenes with people coming in, still making use of that set, even though the main characters don't work there anymore, even though Chloe lives upstairs. Anyway, great idea to have her at the talent, right? Also, though, they talk about, like, you know, your language, my language, our home, your home, your, you know, humans, you know. Very interesting that she's like, what do you do, like, grow old and with these people and watch them die? Like, I'm like, man, so you're actually setting up the next episode more than I thought they did initially. Because Incure is obviously about, you know, living forever and outliving your loved ones. That's not Vandal Savage's whole character motivation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that and that scene. And then it comes back around in the Lana scene with Clark as well. But we got not Dave Chappelle showing up.
Yep. Dave Chappelle, my man.
This Lexus Private Eye does kind of like Dave Chappelle. I've seen him in a jacket like this before.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know what it is about.
Probably in his latest comedy special, he's wearing a jacket like this.
But he shows up and he's like, we found her.
Lex, we done found her. Damn.
This guy was, he actually was in the previous episodes as well. So Lex is going to go find Kara. But, mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, Lana did mention that Clark's cousin was here from Minnesota, which is where Clark told Lana the first Kara was from, mm-hmm. way back in Covenant in season 3. So look at that continuity. This show is on top of it.
Sometimes I can't tell if the show has a continuity editor or not, because there's a detail like that. But also, could they have like gotten lucky? They could have just been like, some southern, you know, countryside.
Minnesota's not southern.
Yeah. Minnesota's definitely north.
I mean, it might be south for you, but it's north for most of the country.
Minnesota is west of her.
But hey, continuity for the, I mean, all jokes aside about the Private Eye, like, it's good to see those returning characters like that. That's like, it makes me believe in this world they're building, right? That's why they call it world building.
There it is.
And we see Jimmy and Chloe, they're going home after a fun time, you know, and Jimmy's like, you know what, Chloe, I used to think you were really racist against meteor freaks. I thought you were a horrible person thinking all these people would just turn evil just since they had powers. But you know what? You know what I realized, Chloe? You're right. Meteor freaks are horrible people. And we need to hunt them all down. Will you join me?
And she's like,
that's if Smallville was Riverdale.
I know, right? But then, like, before she can even answer, she notices that Jimmy locking eyes with Kara and Kara locking eyes with Jimmy.
Kara's like, oh, I just came here to get my bag.
Yep.
And I'm Chloe's like, how many times does this have to happen to me? But if I'm Chloe, I'm like, for God's sake.
Yep.
How many times does that have to happen to me?
Yep, because Chloe can hear that music too.
But even, but she seemed to be pretty.
She can also hear Avril Lavigne.
They both kind of like, it gets awkward for both of them. It gets awkward for Chloe because of all the meteor freak talk. Because, you know, in case you forgot, viewer, because it's really easy to.
Yes.
Chloe is a meteor freak for now.
Right. Things we know now.
And Jimmy's like, oh, I got to get out of this awkward carriage stuff. Jimmy's like, you want to go upstairs? And Chloe's like, oh, yeah. So they just leave and we'll pick that back up next episode.
Yep.
The never ending next episode of Days of Our Lives with Chloe and Jimmy. So, but then, hey, we go to the 100th Harvest Festival.
Yeah.
Right? And people are having a good time. And Clark and Lana are there. And Lana's like, Clark, I love you. And I'm going to grow old with you. And if I'm Clark, I'm like, well, this guy touched me once in season 3 and tells me I don't die. So, you know, I don't know. Like, does he, I mean, he knows that we just talked about it.
We did.
Right, with Kara. We're going to talk about a lot next week. Martian Manhunter is going to tell him this, right? Mm-hmm. He has his nightmares about outliving everyone and future stuff. So, I mean, I guess she doesn't know that he's immortal yet.
No.
Right. But for all the people that say Clark would never give up his powers and live happily ever after on a farm, all these episodes of Smallville tell me he absolutely would. He just switches out Lana for Lois. And the only reason why is because Lois doesn't have kryptonite in her bloodstream like Lana. So that's what I learned from Smallville. So, any thoughts, Lauren?
No.
Oh, man.
But, yeah. No, nothing on that. But, you know, it's so funny because, like, they've had several scenes together in this episode. And it's like, it's like they're trying so hard to be like, yeah, guys, this is, you know, we're the you know, your ship is back. Like, you know, the power couple is back. And at this point, it's like season 7. It's like, I'm not invested in these two anymore.
Like, it is season 7 of Smallville. Okay. Lois Lane has been here for years. I'm done with the Clark and Lana thing. Can we move on? For God's sake. Right. But we have a Gain the World by Morcheeba, which I actually really like this song. Okay. I don't really remember it from the time of listening back to it. I was like, all right, dig this jam.
Okay.
And then again, nothing good happens in the back guy of the Talon.
Nope.
So Kara just got off her first shift, I guess, and she's wearing red and blue.
She's, right? She, you know, it's plus one for blue blouse and red hoodie.
That. We're not doing that.
Well, that's what she's wearing.
We can mention it and call it out, but we're not making a new counter.
Well, she doesn't wear a lot of the same outfits, though.
That's true. It's unlike Clark. It's a new combination of different. Yeah. And like this Clark with the same exact shirt. And same exact jacket.
Clark is like a cartoon.
Yeah, because he has a whole closet full of those things because we've seen him get destroyed many times.
Yeah.
But Lex shows up in the alley and he's like, hey, you pulled the roof off my car. You saved my life. And she's like, oh, you must have confused me with somebody. Sounds like you've been through a lot. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Like, what's so interesting, though, to me in this scene is like at the beginning of this episode, if this had happened, she would have been honest with him and told him what was going on.
That's true.
But through her experiences of this episode with the other people and with Clark and the lessons she's learned from him, she knows the importance of keeping her secret, right? Mm-hmm. And Lexi's like, it's okay, you can tell me. I'm not going to tell anyone. Like,
yeah.
He's just the way he plays it. Like, I really like it. And as we've been saying, this is now another take on Lex being saved by a member of the Kent family. As Lex even says here, he's like, I've been pulled back from death twice and both times by members of the Kent family. And I'll protect you. I did protect you just like I would have protected someone else if they would have been honest with me. So he's really leaning in hard to care here. And she makes the right choice.
She does. She does. Good for her.
Which is interesting because in the comics, there actually is a connection between Lex and Supergirl, depending on which era of the comics you read. Like in the Death of Superman era, there was these... wasn't really Supergirl, some alien called Matrix or something. And she was
like
a shapeshifter. And she was dating Lex Luthor too, mm-hmm. who's the quote unquote Australian son of Lex Luthor. But it was really Lex's brain in a clone body.
Yeah.
So Smallville took a lot of inspiration from that as well, I guess. So playing with this connection between Lex and Supergirl was pretty cool. But it's a very ominous ending because he's like, are you a savior? Are you a warning?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, friend or foe. That's what the season 7 mm-hmm. poster told me.
Feels like a season 1 ending too.
It is.
Lex is going to find something out, right? Like he's leaning closer to the monitor. That's the same energy for that ending. But for what was like your, you know, Mean Girls, Miss Congeniality episode, there was some good Lex stuff in here.
There was.
I thought, despite me laughing, like made me turn from my wicked ways. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, you know what, that whole plot with him this season, like that's him wanting to believe that, but I don't think that's true.
He wants to believe.
I think there's like a 49% chance he's right. It's not a majority. It's not even halfway. I think there's a really, really high, but still no.
Okay.
There you go. Well, it's the eternal question. Had Clark been honest with Lex, mm-hmm. right? Would he have turned evil?
We'll never know.
We'll never know.
It's okay. I won't tell anyone, I promise. Your secret's safe with me. I've already protected you. Like I would have protected others close to me if they would have told me the truth. This time I'm hoping to change all that. I just need you to be honest with me.
I'm sorry, Mr. Luther. The only secret I've got is that I make a lousy cappuccino. It's probably not the best thing to confess to your boss.
Twice I've been pulled back from the brink of death. And both times it was by a member of the Kent family. I'm not a man who believes in coincidences. Sooner or later, I'll find out the truth. Are you a savior? Or are you a warning?
Fierce got a 7.7 out of 10 on IMDb, and Neil Bailey from the Superman Hope Age gave it a 1 out of 5.
What a hater.
He really liked the last couple of episodes, though.
So. He used to stop sipping on that haterade. Chill out, bro.
So, Lauren, I'll ask you, on the letter grade scale, what would you give Fierce?
One day, I'm going to remember to watch the episode with the deleted scenes and to think about a rating. This is not that
time. I know it's really blindsiding. We usually don't ask people this, but I fear, you know what? I'll just throw it out there.
Wait, so how do we rate these out of 10?
Letter grade.
Letter grades? Uh-huh. I'm going to say this is a C, but it's not awful. I don't think so. Maybe like a straight C.
Okay. Straight down the middle. The epitome of average Smallville.
You know what? If they made this like a true season one episode and they brought into like the motif of family through like some cheesy like prompt of, you know, what would you do if you could change the world? Make it a better place. Then I would give it like a C+ or something.
Okay.
But this I don't think this is a really ambitious episode. It's fun, and I don't mean C as an insult. It's just okay. You know.
Cool. No, I follow you. That's a good way to put it. It's not very ambitious. So
I'm gonna give it a B-. I agree with you that it is not an ambitious episode, but I liked it. And there's some interesting things going on in here. I had a good time with the episode, so I'm gonna be lenient and give it that B-.
You know, I am as well. We did not discuss it beforehand. I liked it more than I thought. I was like, oh, this dumb episode of the beauty pageant. Like, that's what I went into with, like, all right, well, you know, we got to do them each and every episode. That's what I say every week. We got to do it, right? So, but I really did enjoy it. And I remembered key things about Clark and Kara here, and I enjoyed those aspects.
Yeah, their dynamics are what are the strength of
this. They really lift, again, it's all the family aspects of it lifted. The Lex stuff is interesting, right? So, yeah, that stuff lifts it up to B minus for me as well. But well said, Lauren. Not very ambitious, right? But,
that's a great depiction of what's going on there.
In season 8, we'll get to a place where I finally say like A plus on episodes.
Oh,
season
all right.
8, 9, and 10.
All right. The only good seasons is Smallville. So 8, 9, and 10. So you're a fan of the Metropolis years. Mm-hmm. So
love it so much.
B minus for me, B minus for Lance, and C for Lauren. But hey, the tally board. Only a couple things this week. We have a plus one for Blue Shirt, Red Jacket. That brings us to 62. We have a plus one for Hospital Visit. That brings us to 107.
Nice.
For Henry James Olsen. And hey, Bechdel test passed. Lots of ladies talking about beauty pageants and
doing theft. Heist and all sorts of stuff.
So there you go. There's your Bechdel test pass. So, all right. Well, that was a lot of fun talking about Fierce, which, by the way, no one said Fierce.
No.
Right? What? Should have been Fit? Like, Fit In?
F-I-T?
No, I mean, at some point, like, she should have, like, I don't know. Like, at some point, someone should have just said that she looked fierce.
Yeah.
There you go.
They were, they made a Project Runway joke in this episode. That's not quite America's Next Top Model. I just feel like Tyra was on their minds in this episode.
Likely, yeah. Or did Sasha Fierce come out at this point? Was it Sasha Fierce, the Beyonce album, out at this point in time? I can't remember. I think it might have been. Sasha Fierce.
Is that one with Single Ladies?
See, I can't remember.
Because that's like 2009-ish.
Ish, yeah.
Treasure.
This might is
the episode title for this. The true treasure is family. There you go. Got it. There's those season one double titles, right? The cool kid becomes the guy who freezes you, right?
There it is.
There you go. That's how you do it. So here.
Treasure.
Fierce just sounded. Bruno Mars was after this.
Way after.
They couldn't use. That was 10 years. That was like a good 5 years after.
I will say there are some episodes of Smallville where someone will say, like when we're just talking amongst friends, where someone says the name of an episode and I have no idea what it is. I've never forgotten what Fierce is.
Okay.
Okay. Fair enough.
Like Precipice. What's that about? Mm-hmm. Got her. that's the one with Lex's fiance's ex-boyfriend, played by Anson Mount, who is now Captain Pike in Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
Smash his head into the mirror.
That's right. Captain Pike. I forgot the frat boys.
I can't even tell you what season.
Yeah, season 2. Right. Lana kicks some college students who are hitting on her, and then Clark throws a guy 20 feet, and they sue Clark, but it turns out he wasn't really hurt, although they really could have done something really interesting with having him actually be hurt. Anyway, that's a title that shouldn't be called something else.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, we usually talk about the titles at the beginning. We talk about it at the end. So after two episodes, we're like, okay, Bizarro's in this, right? Bizarro. Kara's in this, right? Kara. Who's in this? Crap.
Fierce.
Dr. Fierce. Should have been somebody's name. Right?
Powerpuff.
But anyway. Y'all, it's been a lot of fun talking about Fierce this week. Lauren, if people want to find you out there on the internet or on our Patreon, where can they find you?
You guys can find me anywhere at Lauren Eckelwin. And then about every, what is it, like month, every 2 months, we do a couple episodes of the 1970s Wonder Woman show on Always Hold On to Wonder Woman. So be sure to subscribe to that Patreon tier.
And you can see an episode very similar to this one.
Yes, exactly.
All right, Lance, what about you?
You can find me at Sir Lance Laster on all of my social medias, and you can also find me on Training Montage, the sports movie podcast on the Nerd Party. You can find us on Twitter at Join Nerd Party, and you can also find me on the United Federation podcast talking about all the things that make Arrow Arrow on Always Hold On to Arrow, and you can find us on Twitter at Do Not Fail Our Pod.
All right, as for me, more on Zach on Twitter, also host couple of podcasts on the United Federation of Podcasts. You can find us, as Lance said, at UFP Earth. And as for the podcast here, you can find us on Twitter at Always Smallville with one S. You can find us on Facebook at Always Hold On to Smallville. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com. Once again, with one S. That's going to do it for us this week. We'll be back next week talking about Cure with Dean Cain as not Vandal Savage. But until then, always hold on to Smallville.
Always on Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Cavante Chillis, Darren Kirscht, Joy Deanberg, JJ Hodges, DJ DeWinna, Nathan Rothatcher, Casey Cochran, Nathan McKenzie, Jason Skipper, Steve Rogers, Joe Mickendo, Atif Sheik, Molly Ficarella, John Curcio, Mike Franz, Dylan D'Antonio, Thomas Navin, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Zachary Burkhalter, Mark Itzvapen, Alex Ramsey, Jason Davis, Patrick Bravo, Patricia Carrillo, Jacob Stevenart, Diana Bias, Corey Moore, James Bandini II, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Jim Thomas, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Will Hunt, Clonk Kant, Becca Zeifel, Jacob, Mariana Sachi, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Goso, Erica Flynn, Jared Gibbs, Anthony Anderson, Jasmine McGelly, Keith Falls, Lauren D., and Cody Thomas. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.